Blog Talk Radio.
Holy
Hallelujah. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord, because you are worthy. I honor you, Lord, because you are worthy. I praise you, Lord, because you are worthy. I pray this morning, O God, that you continue to watch over us, continue to keep us, continue to protect us, continue to shield us, O God. You are such an awesome God. And Father, I recognize that if I had 1,000 tongues, 1,000,000 tongues, 1,000,000,000,000 tongues, I could not praise you enough for all that you have done for me, for us, for the ones that call upon your name in repentance. You've done it all. Oh, my Father, my Savior, my Lord, and my soon coming King, I pray, oh God, that you would speak through us, speak to us, and speak through us this morning as we yield our tongue, our lips, our ears, and our eyes of clear to you. Father, we decrease now. We ask you to increase in us and through us. Lord, we come this morning with a heart of repentance, asking your forgiveness for any word, any thought, any deed that we may have committed, known or not known. Father, that nothing and no one, natural or supernatural, seen or unseen, will be able to hinder this word that go forth this morning. We ask you to lead your word through the atmosphere. Lord, lead it through the corridors of this earthly realm, that somebody might hear, believe, and say, what must I do to be saved? Give their life to you, Jesus. And we'll be grateful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Well, this morning, the Lord didn't know what was going on, because this morning started out very, very rugged. I know the sun is out and the wind is blowing and everything seems good. But the first thing I did, I got a message this morning while I was laying on the bed, two messages that disturbed my spirit. And the first message was that a friend of mine that was in the we were in the same church, I mentioned to you all, had a brain tumor. And it was covering his whole brain. It wasn't just one part of his brain. It was covering his whole brain, you know. And we as a people, we take too long to get checkups. If we feel a certain way, we say, well, I don't need the doctor. I don't need to see the doctor. Well, you may be the best preacher. You may be the best musician. You may be the best prophetic speaking person. The best prophet, the best evangelist, or whatever your gifts are or talents are, but you don't know medicine. We don't know medicine. We don't know the setup of the body. The doctors have been to school for that. So we go to get an understanding of what's going on in our bodies so we can pray about it and we can get the herbs and the different medication that we need to fix this stuff. I got a message this morning that they had given my friend, and my brother in Christ, Deacon Marshall, 48 hours to live because his brain was deteriorating so fast. The tumor was eating his brain up so fast. And this morning I got a message from the deacon that he had passed on, crossover. And then I get a message from the guy the man that I just finished installing the boiler for. He had given me a check and said, don't put the check in the bank till Tuesday. And I said, well, I know that. I would do that. And I didn't put the check in the bank till Tuesday, hoping that the check would clear. But he's claiming that he read a check, another check to some person, and he was hoping that he didn't think the person was going to cash a check that fast. You can't do those kind of things. Well, I now got my credit was so good, Apostle. My credit was so good. Or more, meaning getting into 700s, my credit was good. Now it's going to fall very bad because the check that he gave me after I put it in the bank account. Now we wrote some. We always write our checks or pay our bills 4 days in advance, so that by the time anything clear, the money clear, it will be right there. Well, today's the 24th, And we getting all types of stuff hitting like crazy. And I told him just now, I said, look, he said, well, I'll do the cash on Saturday. So I sent him back and I says, you need to get the cash for me today because I'm having problems. I don't have problems with paying bills. I like to pay my bills on time. I'm very right up front with my bills. So I just came back from driving a long way to get the cash. But I still got all them bills that hidden, you know. So I told him just, I said, you're going to have to pay me all of these $35 that I'm paying. About $735 I'm going to have to, seven or eight, I'm going to have to pay. I said, when I come back to your house, you're going to have to write me a check for that money. You know, he didn't respond.
No.
But I tell him, I said, this is what you're going to have to do. You know, because you knew that's what you were doing. It wasn't no surprise. You knew exactly what you were doing. And you put me in jeopardy. I don't do that. If I owe somebody, I pay you on time. I don't play with people's stuff. I don't give you stuff that's no good. But
that's right.
I got the check in there. But this morning, thank God for this word that the Lord gave me. And you know, so we start with the death, and then we start with the money, all foolish. And then my wife got so frantic because she's all her credit score's over the almost 800. So now, you know, both of our credit scores going to drop. You know, going to drop like crazy because if you have a late payment or if you have a bounce check, it goes right on the credit in the credit bureau. People send that thing.
That's right.
And they drop your score. So
that's right.
We got to work it out. This morning we got a word the Lord gave us. I tell you, the uncommon word the Lord gave us. I was looking in my sermons, and the Lord says, topic he gave me to it. Paying attention to who you hook up with. Paying attention to who you hook up with. And I look at the scripture, but you remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went over there to prayer. And he told the disciples to watch in prayer lest they fall into temptation. And as I was hearing that in my spirit, it was like he was telling them, watch who you hook up with. Watch who you hook up with because you can get into temptation. But while you watch in prayer. So, but here we went into the book of 2 Timothy, and Paul is talking to his protege. Because there's some people that are in the church, listen to me. There's some people that's in the body of Christ at this particular time that was causing confusion in the church. So Paul began to talk to his protege. He began to talk to Timothy. Verse 13 said, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, talking about Jesus. If, even though that we are in the church and we don't believe what we're hearing, what we're seeing, Jesus is still faithful. The Savior is still faithful to the faithless. How do you know that, Apostle? There you are, because when I was in the world and I was living a promiscuous lifestyle, God was still protecting me. God was still shielding me. He was faithful to his son because, guess what? He knew that he was going to use me, his daughter, that he was going to use you at some point in time in your life. So he was faithful.
Amen.
Because the Bible says he knows the end before the beginning. So we may have lived this odd type of lifestyle that somebody said, well, she can't never be saved. You can't never tell nobody they can't be saved. We'd be foolish. They could be the worst person in the world, and God can reach way down with the Mary Clay. The Bible says he goes down with the Mary Clay. And he'll dry you out the Mary Clay, that nasty, sticky clay. You know, once it get on you, if you ever get any of that clay dirt on you, man, it just goes on everything. And it just stains your clothes. Brown, like rusty dirt looking. And Jesus reached right down the Mary Clay and pulled us out and put our feet on the rock. Solid rock. But here Paul is telling Timothy, he says, if we believe not, and I could see Paul adding himself in the subject matter, because this is what he says. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Oh, my God, you hear that? He cannot deny himself because he's faithful. He's loving. He's compassionate. He's merciful. All of this is who God is. He is always willing to forgive in spite of how we're living. Oh, he is waiting for is for us to repent and come to him. He is willing to forgive us, don't care what we've done. Maybe we commit murder. Maybe we commit sodomy. Maybe we are fornicating, commit adultery, stealing, cussing, whatever. Doesn't matter. God says there's no sin that he can't deliver you from. There's no sickness that he can't heal. There's no bondage that he can't set you free. This is the God, thank you, Prophet. This is the God that we serve. But Satan will tell you, you are too far down in the depth for God to pull you out. Don't go back to the church line. Don't go back to the church building. Because if you go back there, they're going to make fun of you. They don't want you there anyway. God said that's a lie from the pit of hell. Paul continued to speak to Timothy, and he says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. No, so many folk want to talk. Listen, Jordan, it's hitting me right now. So many folk would try to be so highfalutin when it comes to the gospel, and they act like they know it all. They're talking Hebrew. They're talking Greek. They're talking all this type of different languages they're speaking. And they're bringing all homiletics and the exercise and all this stuff to tell you. And then they say, well, if you don't know how to know homiletics and you don't know how to exercise the word, you really don't know anything. That's not going to get you to heaven. You can use homiletics, you can exercise, you can use Hebrew and the Greek and all, and that's not going to get you to heaven. What's going to get you to heaven is being obedient to the commands of God, living holy. That's what's going to get you into heaven. Not how much degrees we have. You go into the room and you got four walls in the room where you enter the door. And all four walls are covered with plaques. You got a plaque from the Baptist church, one from the Episcopal church, one from the Catholic church. You got one from the Apostolic church, one from the Baptist, from the Pentecostal. All these churches, you know, we give one another plaques. Here you go down to the Archbishop, he's going to give you a plaque, go to the apostle. All of them going to give each other plaques, and you've got your walls filled with plaques. And people say, well, I didn't know he was a doctor of theology. I didn't know she was a doctor of theology. And all this stuff, and that's good to have the paper to prove that you study the word, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rather than bring the word of truth. Now, you study the word, but are you living the word? See, this is the whole thing, the matter of fact. Paul said, don't worry with the words. Paul tells Timothy, don't worry with all this stuff, because the words don't give you, don't profit you anything. Where is Paul saying that? Did he tell Paul, telling Timothy, don't study the word? That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. You're going to see when that's not what he's saying. He said, don't pay attention to all. When he's saying, Timothy, these folk have a lot of words. This is what he's saying to Timothy. You got to see in the spirit. He said to Timothy, these folk think they know it all, but they're not living it all. They're not living. Listen to what he said. He said, look, all these things put them, talking to the ones in the church, and remember charging them before the Lord Jesus Christ, that they strive not about words. Don't be arguing about who know the most or who don't know and who don't know or not, how long they were in the church. Don't worry. To no profit, don't profit you anything. But to the subverting of the hearers. You want to have words that when people hear, they'll understand that it's the truth. It's the truth that you're speaking. You are so simplifying the word so much that folk can say, man, you know, that's the word. I understand what they're saying. I understand what he's saying. I understand what she's saying. Because you make it so simplistic. You know, it's understandable. It's clear. It's clear as water in the open glass. They can understand it. But this time Paul tells him, he said, no, listen, study to show thyself approved unto God. Don't be worrying about all of these words that they're saying, Timothy. But get the word in you. Get the word of God and you. Study it, the word of God. You don't need all this stuff that the folk talking about. What you need is to know these 66 books. Spend time in the word of God and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He says, try to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul liked the scripture. Jump back and forth and look and see how God going to speak to you, because he's going to make his word plain so you can understand. He said, but shun profane and vain babbling. Avoid these folk.
that they're talking things, saying stuff that don't edify the kingdom. It don't edify the body of Christ. He says, shun those. Stay away from them. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. They're not growing in godliness. Watch it. They look like they're doing something. But what they're doing does not increase the kingdom. We always say that if people don't increase you, they'll decrease you. Hallelujah. You want folk that's going to give you stuff that going to cause you to grow in the kingdom. Not just motivational words. Because after motivation, you become depressed. You ever seen people real excited? Oh, they're real excited because they hear something. But it doesn't elevate the spirit or the soul to another dimension in Christ. After the motivation. That's why motivational speakers will break you down. Oh, you can have this and have that. Oh, yes, you can have that. They're just motivating you. And then when you come down to reality, well, you say, I can't really have it. I can't get it. Nothing is happening for you when you were just motivated. But nothing is happening for you. But when we are standing on the word of God, on the promises of God, blessings are going to come. They're not going to come on our time, but they're going to come on his time. He told Timothy, he said, but shun to fame and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. He said, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, these are two in the church, they brought discord, making the people not believe the truth. They start to talk against the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, you don't face a folk in the church and say, how could he come? How could he die and be in a grave for 3 days and come up out the grave and be alive? That's not possible. You have folk in the church be saying this stuff. But we don't have to see to believe. We know what the word says. He told Thomas, because you see the nail prints in my hand and on my feet and the marks on my head. You see all this stuff. And Messiah, you believe. I said, my blessing is there that do not see but yet believe. We have to believe what the word of God is saying to us. He said to Timothy, verse 18. He says, who concerning the truth have erred, seeing that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some? See, they bring doubt in the church and unbelief. They don't want to talk about the truth. They don't want to talk about holiness. People in the congregation were getting into arguments about genealogies, many of words, meaning of words, and technicalities about the law of Moses. Paul called these arguments ungodliness. These arguers probably felt that they were more righteous than anyone else. But Paul called it ungodliness. Why? Because of what it was producing. See, if what we are teaching and preaching is not, as I said before, elevating people to another dimension or another realm in Christ Jesus, we are causing confusion. That's why we got to search the scriptures daily. Like the Berean church in the book of Acts. They heard the apostles preaching, they believed, they were excited, but they searched the scriptures for themselves. We always give you a lot of scripture here on Blog Talk Radio. Why? So you can go back and look in the scripture for yourself. Okay? Listen to what he says. They produce what the words that they were speaking, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they were causing discord, confusion, doubt, and unbelief in the people. You have to watch who the word that I'm giving you today, paying attention, continue watch. To who you hook up with. Who you're hooking up with. Who's coming into your circle. Pay attention. Don't go to sleep. When folk is coming in your circle and your realm, you got to watch them out. Check them out. Discern who they are. Because maybe they're coming close to you because they see that you are carrying the anointing, the light of God, and they're trying to say what they can say or do to snuff the light out, to hinder you, slow you down, make you don't study, because they really can't snuff the light out. But if they can get you to slow down and don't study your word, spend more time talking with them on the phone, hallelujah, on the telephone, guess what happens? Then your light will start to grow up. That's what Paul told Timothy here in this text. Study. Don't pay attention to what they're saying. Study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto man. Get into the word. Get the word in you so that when these folk come up with all that stuff, you don't have to pay them any attention. You don't have to get caught up in all this arguing and stuff with them. The folk want you to argue. He says, if it was producing disorder and disunity within the congregation, it was not producing an environment for glory. Peace had gone by the wayside. Paul also said in verse 16, to shun those things, shunning the nurse, walking away from someone or something, turning one's back on it. These kinds of arguments do not produce the right kind of fruit. To the contrary, in Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is presented by righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is when you know that you are operating in the kingdom. Because you would have these attributes, you would have these fruit that would be manifesting in your ministry. You will have righteousness, you will have peace, and you will have joy. Because the Holy Ghost gives you these things. But if we find that we are not manifesting these fruits, something is wrong with our ministry. Hallelujah. You know, that man called me this morning. He says, Pastor, I'm so sorry. The check came back to me. He said, but I'm going to make it right. Well, I know I signed all of these things. I put all this stuff on my check card and stuff, hoping that on today the check would clear. It would clear. So what I did not allow him to take my righteousness or my peace or my joy. Even when I met him a little while ago, he said, well, I'm so grateful that you're the kind of man you are. He said, I'm so sorry. He couldn't stop telling me he was sorry for writing the check. I mean, just stop telling me. Why? Because when you know that you know that you know that you are in the kingdom, you are part of the kingdom. God is ruling you. You're part of the kingdom. The kingdom is not the fancy building. It's not the high rise. It's not the palaces. It's not the fancy cars. Not the jets. It's not the yachts. It's the people. We are the kingdom, and he is the king. He rules us. When God is ruling you, you're part of the kingdom. These folk can't get into you. You do not allow them to come into you. Even when death comes around you, you do not allow it to strike you out of your zone. Do you hear what I'm saying to you today? This is an example of ungodliness within a congregation. But a more common application appears in a context like Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Now, Paul begins to dissect everything to so that Brother Timothy could see and that the church can understand that when we are not walking according to God's word, that it will cause division. Division will take place. When gossiping and when we are running our mouth contrary to God's word, we cause confusion. We cause division. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, folk proclaim that they are of God. Do you hear what the word of God is saying? They proclaim that they are of God, but when you look at them, when you examine them, not just in a judgmental manner, but when you look at them because you can't help but seeing that they're walking ungodly. They operate in an ungodly realm or an ungodly atmosphere. Their whole atmosphere is saturated with ungodliness, even though they know the truth. But they're not allowing the truth to manifest. Paul said, you've got to shun those people. That's why we need the spirit of discernment. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Let's look there. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. See, God don't have no, he don't have no fear of turning you loose. When you decide to walk in an ungodly manner and reject God, he don't have no problem letting you go. Even though they say, well, God will continue to cover me with grace and mercy. No, that's not true. You can get to a state in your life, in your life living, that God don't have a choice. He don't have a choice because he has already given each and every one of us a will. A will is the same thing as a choice. You have the right to do what you want to do. God give it to us. So when we decide to walk in that realm of our own choice, own choosing, our own will, God has to turn us loose. And he turns loose into us to become a reprobate. Mean that you are good for nothing. Listen. And we do what's convenient to us. You got men sleeping with men and women sleeping with women. Down low. Now the man, you see, I talked about it yesterday, the man and everybody that's living contrary to God's word, living contrary to holiness, is not afraid. They're not afraid to come up on the television now. When I was growing up and men was having homosexual urges and women was having lesbianism, and all, they was keeping it low. It was low key. But now we're living in a time where they're coming up front and say, well, we can go on television. We can go on the radio. We can go on the internet or Instagram or Periscope or any of these media sites that we can talk about our sinful lifestyle. And the people say, well, that's good. That's good. At least he's coming out and talking about it. And that's good because other people can come out now. You see how they promote this sinful lifestyle, and you wonder why people are dying every day from all types of diseases because they're promoting sin. And God is turning. God's allowing them to do this stuff because he let them loose and to become reprobate man. Listen to what Paul is saying. Verse 29 says, being filled with the all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, he says, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, talking about the homosexual, implacable, unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Isn't that what we say today? Folk are saying now, well, as long as they're happy, love is in love. That's not love. That's fatuation. That's lust. For a man to go with another man, a woman goes, it's lust. It's not love. But they want us to preach that in agreement with that stuff. No, we can't be in agreement with it. They can kill me if they want to. But I'm not going to be in agreement with it. God has delivered me from all kind of sin. Why would I want to go back and be in agreement with sin, any kind of sin? No. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in ungodliness, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't even want to talk about God. They don't want to hear about God. Those people talk too much. They talk too much, apostles. Prophets, they talk too much about holiness and righteousness. I want to be somewhere where they're talking about prosperity and I can get rich and I can get a better job and a bigger house and maybe I can buy a flying car because you know they got the flying cars. No, nobody wants the regular car. They say you can get a flying car, electric car. They want the materialistic things. They are so caught up with the things of the world. Most of these our behaviors and attitudes listed here as ungodliness are what we are more familiar with. They can also occur within a congregation of the Church of God. In this context, though we find the ungodly marriage of adultery with immorality, the true ungodliness in the text in the context of Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 3, we can understand that when grace truly comes into a person's life, the Christian will consciously repudiate and utterly reject ungodliness. It will not happen all at once, but if he or she is growing, the Christian will be moving precisely in the right direction. When God has entered your heart, God, the Holy Ghost, is constantly elevating you into the way that you must walk. He is constantly directing you. He is constantly showing the path of holiness, that you can walk in that righteous walk, that walk that pleases God. Hallelujah. That when the Holy Ghost comes, when you have turned your life over to Jesus Christ and giving yourself to him, you begin to walk. We begin to walk. Hallelujah. That walk that pleases God. No longer trying to please the pastor. No longer trying to please the bishop. No longer trying to please the prophet or the prophetess or the evangelist or the deacon. We are trying, doing everything that we can do to please God. Right. Because we have stepped into that realm. We have stepped into that realm of understanding that God is holy. God is righteous, and that the only way that we can walk hand in hand with him is if we walk in holiness. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, talking about Jesus Christ, because he's grace. And he's appeared in this world to all men, all men. They see him, they heard of him. There's no escaping the truth. Some people say they reject God, so they say, I haven't heard of the crucifixion. I haven't heard of Jesus dying on the cross. I haven't heard of him being buried in the borrowed tomb. I haven't heard of him raising up on the third day. Because they don't want to focus on the truth. They want to focus on that which makes their flesh feel good. Be at the mall. Be at the beach. So I say, I can't go to Bible study tonight because we have a picnic with Yogi Bear and Yogi. Yeah, Yogi Bear and Boo Boo. We having a picnic. They say they can't go to the beach. They can't go to the church building. Can't go to Bible study. Can't pray. Can't fast. No. I can't fast now because it's summertime. And it's hot outside. We're going to have many cookouts. Don't have no time to spend with God. Can't give God a hallelujah praise. Can't give God an amen. Can't even tell God how good he is to them this morning. God, they're alive. I think of when a young man texts me, he says, Pastor, I got to let you know what's going on. He said, but Deacon, he's a young man. He's in maybe late 50, early 50s or so. I don't even think he's 60 years old. And he's gone. People think it's a joke. You can run around the church and jump and skip and walk over the pews and fall over the altar. But if you don't live holy and your number come up in heaven to leave this earth with him, you don't know where you go. The pastor, the bishop can get there and say all kinds of nice things about you, lie about you. But if you live in a lifestyle that is contrary to God's word, you're going to hell. There's no second chance. Once you leave this earthly realm, and cross out from here, out of life into death, there's no second chance. There's second death, but no second chance. You can't go and say, well, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. I just want to get away. No, it's too late. Here, Paul is talking. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. In other words, have understanding. Have a clear understanding. Soberly means be aware, righteously, and godly in the present world. See, everything going to start here. We can't wait till we get there to start to live holy. That is the problem. This is why I'm saying this morning, paying attention to who you hook up with. Folk come and want to be here, come and spend time at your house. Want to come to the party. They come to your house and they start cussing. They're bringing marijuana in your house and smoking, drinking beer, drinking alcohol, or and cussing. No, not in my house. Not even my son. I got daughters and grandsons, but one son. He can't even get in my car with no cigarette. He tell you when he come home. He said, "Dad, I want to smoke." I said, "Okay." I press the brake. Get up. Go smoke on the side of the street. And blow your lungs because, you know, they still have smoking in the lungs when they get back here. No, don't blow that in my car. Blow it out. The last come in your mouth and your lungs blow it outside because this is God's car. Okay, Dad. Okay, Dad. I said, yeah, if you want to drive in my car, if not, you can walk. You're my son. I love you, but I'm not going to have that. You don't come in my house and smoke in my one, all that stuff. No, 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 no. You have to set a standard. You have to set a godly standard because the folk must see that you are of God. They must see that you have that anointing is upon your life. You're not just talking it. You're living it. They must see it. Because somebody take advantage of you, don't get mad and want to cuss them out and say something out of way. Then they say, well, I thought she was holy. I thought she was a holy woman of God. I thought he was a holy man of God. But because of a few $100 and you start to act a fool, guess what? You cause that person to stumble. Because now they don't want to be like who you claim to be. You see what I'm saying to you? So we got to pay attention to who we're hooking up with. Pay attention. This is what it says. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This is why we're living the way that we're living. We are living to live again. We're not living just for people to see us. Yes, they're going to see that we are already walking with that righteous robe. They can see it. We want them to see it. We are not doing it just for fashion or fame. We're doing it because we are doing it to see our Savior when he comes. We want to see him as a king. A royal king coming for his bride. You understand? So we are looking forward. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Are you excited? Are you excited about the works that God called you to do? All week last week I was working. An apostle and bishop and Prophet Millie was carrying this ministry, God's ministry, every day. Millie here, then apostle day. Millie here, then apostle day. And they all go in and out. They're here. Carrying the word, why? Because we make sure that regardless, the word of God is going to come forth. The word of God is going to go forth. Because somebody is waiting. Somebody's waiting to hear word. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. No man despise thee. Let no man despise you. You understand what I'm saying? Pastor, you got to speak this truth. This truth you got to speak with boldness. You got to rebuke some folk. I don't say nothing. No, you got to speak. That's why Peter says, Lord, grant us boldness to speak this word. You're not cutting people down. You're not putting people down. You're speaking the truth of God's word, letting them know that you are the mouthpiece of God here on earth. I'm not indulging the foolishness. You got to know who I am. If you call it boasting, well, it's up to you. But I know that I'm declaring that God is my Father. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He's the one that paid the price so that I can live instead of other people dying around me and other people dying from stuff that I'm living with. With blocked arteries and all stuff, I got to praise him. I got to praise him.
Yes, sir.
I got to let the
praise
people
him.
Know that he is my guide. He is my shepherd. He is a good
yes,
shepherd. He's the one
yes,
that I'm, he's the vine. I'm the branch. He's the one that I'm connected to. And I'm going to stay connected
yes,
to him.
Sir.
I don't need money to connect to him. I could have acted a fool on the phone this morning with that man on the phone. I could have acted a fool with him.
Mm-hmm.
But what would it give me? What would it give me if I acted a fool? He already called me pastor. He already called me a man of God, a servant of God. And if I go now and start acting because he owed me a few hundred dollars, and I start acting a fool, what do you think going to go out of his mind? The devil going to tell me, you calling him pastor, you calling him preacher, and all kind of stuff. You see, he no pastor, he no preacher. He's a fake. Look at him. He would see me through the phone because he hear my spirit. You got to know who you are and who you are. Now let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. We have to stand up. People are struggling. Too many people in the church are giving more promotion and more honor and glory to the bishop and the pastor and the evangelist and the apostle and the teacher and less to God. What are you saying, Apostle? We shouldn't honor the men of God. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that we give more honor to men and women
right.
than we give to God. Jesus said so. Jesus said so in John chapter 5, verse 44. We look for honor from each other instead of look for honor from God, the honor that lasts. We'll do everything we can do to please the bishop. Oh, that's the archbishop. That's the chief apostle. But as soon as we leave the presence of the archbishop, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, did you understand what I'm saying? We become the same fool that we were before we come in their presence.
Mm-hmm.
Acting unseemly, that's what I mean. We begin to act unseemly and not like a child of God or representative of the Most High God. We don't act like ambassadors. We lose our focus. We allow the enemy and all of his agents to take us out of our focus of who we really are. We have to be the child of God, the representative of God, the ambassador of God, every moment of the day. Not just at 6 o'clock and not at 9 o'clock. We can't do like the Incredible Hulk flipping and flopping. We can't do it. We can't be like Superman jumping in the booth and changing to something else. No, we got to be the same thing. We got to be the one that God died for on Calvary. We got to be that person. We got to be that person that he died for. Because we honor him with how we live. And no matter how much money we get to the church, you buy the pastor a new car. You bought him a diamond ring, a Rolex watch. That does not matter if you're living like hell. Do you hear what I said? It don't matter if you're living like hell. We got to be careful who we hook up with. Paying attention to who you hook up with. Why? Because if you want to go to heaven, you got to hook up with people that's going to increase you. Hook up with people that are living the life, not just talking the life. That person come and tell you, say, girl, we gonna have a cookout. And they say, man, you know, Johnny on the grill, he's a bad cook. Well, when you get your hamburger or your steak, you don't like no steak with blood jumping out of it, because you see you should eat nothing with blood. That's what the Bible says. You should eat stuff with blood in it. So when you get your steak or your hamburger and look good on the outside, got a crisp brown coating on the outside from the grill. But when you put the knife and the fork on it, the blood is seeping out of it. Now what are you going to think about the cook? You're going to think, well, he really is good as people talking about. Because I got a raw hamburger or I got a raw steak. You understand what I'm saying? Now we got to look at ourselves like that. People are looking at you and saying, well, you know, man, sister so-and-so is a awesome preacher. But then when they go down my multi-sex and you know, she got a nice husband. That brother John, he's a bad preacher. But you should see his wife. His wife is nice. She's just an awesome preacher. But then when you see him coming out motel 6 or 66 or Marriott or Holiday Inn or one of them with this, with another woman or another man, What happens to you? What happened to your vision of this woman or this man? It goes out the back door. It goes out. All kinds of things start to happen in your mind. I was in Louisiana in 2017, and Prophetess Misha can tell you, she's a good-looking godly woman. Man, she got her flaws like all of us got our flaws. But she can tell you, her daughter can tell you, this is going on tape. When I was in there for almost a week, how many days I was there, she can tell you, her daughter can say, I ain't never disrespect either one or two of them. And they were single women at the time. The daughter didn't have no boys at the time. Maybe she was seeing somebody. None of them can't say what the apostle said, the girl, I would do this or I would do that. None of them can't say that. They would be lying. They would be lying. Right? Because that's why when I was leaving, they were crying. You know why they were crying? Because a man of God was leaving them. A man of God was leaving. He was not fake. He real. We have to be real about who God is and who we are in God. We are ambassadors. We are not competing with anybody. I posted on Facebook last week. No, don't be competing with the bishop. Don't compete with the apostle. Don't compete with the evangelist or the deacon or the usher. Don't compete with them. Just live who God says you are. That's all that matters. God did not call us into ministry to fuss with somebody else. I'm better than her. I'm better than you. No, he called you to live the ministry. To be the ministry, be living epistles. That's what he called it to be. That when other people see you, they say, man, I just loved so-and-so. I want what she got. I want what he got. And they come say, girl, you know, I look at you. Every time I see you glowing, you know what they're seeing? They're seeing the light. Now, we talk a lot about the light of God here on Blog Talk. But they're seeing the light coming through us. And that's what they want. You want people to see the light. And then when people test you, when you're being tested, when your light is being tried, don't let the wick flicker. You ever light a candle? And if you open a door, wind comes in. And the candle will flicker. The light will go back and forth. Don't let your light flicker because of somebody acting up a fool. Let your light burn straight up and bright. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. I believe that's where you are. We're still talking about paying attention to who you hook up with. It could be your brother, your sister, it could be your kindergarten friend that you grew up with in kindergarten, went to elementary school and primary school, or went to middle school and so on, high school and college. No, if they're living contrary, you minister to them. You pray for them. Every time they come, he says, can I pray for you? And if you keep wanting to pray for them, they can either stick with you or they're going to stop calling you or stop coming by. Because why? You're not hooking up with them. Let them hook up with you. You see what I'm saying? You cannot be unequally yoked. And that's not just talking about marriage because it's, well, I ain't going to marry to him because he's not saved. But you're going to the club with him. You're sitting down smoking a joint with him. You know? You're kicking the bobo with him. You hook up with him. You're unequally yoked. They're cramping off, cutting all of them jokes, all of them nasty, slimy jokes, and you laughing. If you don't say no, you say yes. Unequally yoked. Here in the Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, only by pride contention. But with the well advice is wisdom. Do you hear what he says? Only with pride cometh contention. Only through pride does contention last. We primarily see the effects of pride because pride is frequently difficult to detect. God has shown in his word how to detect it. By looking at the fruits, how do we know false prophets? By their fruit, by what they produce. See, men and women are watching us. You know how many people came against Blog Talk God's ministry, Resurrection Power Church of Christ, since 2010? because they thought that we were just a fly-by-night ministry. We don't need 100 people to come on here every morning. We know there's thousands upon thousands that are listening when we're sleeping in a different time zone. So when we come out, if it's just 3 of us or 4 of us, we do. If it's just 1 of us with the Holy Ghost, we're going to do what we got to do. Pray and get off. Because we know that when we get off, that's when it begins. When we go to sleep, that's when the ministry is working. Somebody's hearing. Hallelujah. So we got to watch that spirit of pride that comes from the devil. And when you got a lot of it, it causes contention. Hallelujah. We'll begin to beef with each other. We got to use the wisdom of God. That's what the Bible says. If any man lack wisdom, let's go to God. We got to have the wisdom of God so we can react in a godly manner. And don't be moved by what we see or what we hear. Them people got so much jealousy in them. Full of jealousy, full of pride. I don't care what somebody got. How big your house is, how big your car is, how much money you got in bank account. That don't move me. What moves me is when I see the light of God upon you. I said, my God, that sister going through so much. That sister going through so much. But look at the light on her. A quarrel that could be easily settled if both parties were humble continues indefinitely. When parties are arrogant, why? Because pride blows the way up for contempt for the other's opinion. Pride inflames passion and warms feelings. Because of competitiveness, also an aspect of pride, a person feels he or she has to fight back. And so the argument goes back and forth. If we are ever involved in a quarrel that seemingly will not end, we should be well advised from God's word that the problem is pride. It is somewhere in the picture in one or both who are participating in the conflict. The quarrel will never end until one person makes up his mind to stop it by refusing to argue back, suppressing the feeling that he must win. You know, sometimes we get in and fought with that stuff and they continue going back and forth. Because everybody wants to be the winner. Everybody wants to be on top. But guess what? Somebody got to be on the bottom. Somebody got to be on the bottom. And I've never seen anyone get to the top of the ladder without starting at the bottom. But everybody wants to be on top. Everybody wants to be on top. And they don't care who they step on to get on top. Well, you know where that comes from? Having pride. One of the greatest spiritual advances that I ever made in my life was when it suddenly dawned on me one day that I did not have to win. God is on his throne. And because he loves me and the other person, God will make available to both of us what the right decision is. If we act patiently, persevering without anger, and if we continue to meditate and search and consult with him, the answer will come. So arguments stop. God gives us what we need. If somebody, a family member, brother, sister, cousin, uncle, husband or wife is coming up and always be argumentative, shut your mouth. I remember when I was growing up, when I was early in my marriage with Nancy, I was a rebel. I'm going to tell you the truth. I was a rebel. And I did stuff that was, I never put my hand on, never strike her. But my lifestyle was the streets. I smoke a lot of cocaine. I run with a lot of women. That was my lifestyle. Okay? I was an adulterer, the head of all the adulterers. I was. And when I come home, my wife had the right to do whatever she chose to do to me. And she would argue, she would cross, I had to tell you all this, but the Holy Ghost want to put this in the message because somebody needs to hear this. And she would cut up, and she would call me names. And you know what I would do? I'd come in one door, go the other door, and I'd go sit down in the car. I'd go down the back porch or the front porch. And she'd be in the house talking to herself. But when she realized I'm no longer in the house, she stopped talking. Why? Because that was one of the, even before I was saved and dedicated my life to God, that was one of the gifts that God gave me. He told me to take two people to argue. If you see a person arguing by themselves, guess what? The crazy wagon will come and pick them up. That means they're crazy. If your husband or your wife or your sister or brother is acting up, don't get into stuff with them. I got to be right. That's pride. I got to tell them something. That's what people say. I will give them a piece. No, don't give nobody a piece of your mind. You become crazy. You need all your mind. Stop. Don't talk. Say, Lord, shut my mouth now. I'm not going to say anything. And when you stop, they will stop talking. Eventually, everything will come to a place where we can get understanding of how to work the situation out. That's how we're still married today. That's how we're still married after over 40 years plus. We're still married. Because I never fight with her. I never fight with her. And I made thousands of dollars, over $1 million, more than $1 million. And I was blowing money. But once I come to my senses, I always say, honey, here's my check. Here's the money I made today. It could be $10,000, $15,000. I said, because, honey, I don't have no need for money. I really don't. I say that candidly. I really don't. You know, they help people say, I got to have that. I got to walk around with $1,000 in my pocket to show people I got. I don't need that. When I get it, I give it away. I give it away to the poor. I give it to the widows. I give it to the fathers and mothers. I pay bills. That's what I do. Because I'm not looking to carry stuff from here. I came in here naked. I'm leaving naked. I'm telling you. Even the clothes they put me in the casket with or the boxing, the ass and the bugs going to eat them clothes. They're not going with me. The shoes going to rot. Very rot. But people are trying to get all this stuff. Man, what we need to do is get an understanding to fall so deeply in love with each other that we have a mindset to glorify God. That's what we need. Have a mindset to be patient with one another. Not be argumentative. Not be combative. Let us get to a place where we love on each other, that each other begins to see Christ in each other. That's what we want to be. Now here in Proverbs chapter 26, I've got some stuff to give you. I'll come back another day, maybe next week, and I'll do a part two of this, because I've got so many scriptures on this. I won't throw five. I want to give you like four scriptures or something like that. Now, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 4 and 5. Answer not a fool. Oh, my God. You know, everything that you need, Proverbs, really, God has it in here. Every answer. Every response that you need is in God's word. All we have to do is take. That's what Paul told Timothy. He says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly defend the word of truth." What you need is in this book is truth. Somebody said it took 14 books out of the Bible. I don't care how many books they took. We got enough to live a life that pleases God. 66 books is enough to live to please God. You don't need a whole lot. You want 14 more books, you don't even need to live the books that you have right now. We argue. We don't have the book of Enoch. We don't have the book of James. We don't have the book of... They took all these books out of the Bible. What are you talking about the other 14 books for? You're not living the ones that you got now. And you're preaching around, we should put that stuff back in the Bible. Well, you're not living what's in the Bible right now. The stuff that's in the Bible, no, you're not living. But you want that stuff that they took out. Man, shut up and go sit down somewhere. He's the answer not a fool according to his folly. Lest thou also be like unto him. You hear that? You hear what King Solomon is saying? God is putting this man's heart. If you respond to these people, you become just like them. That's why we got to be pay attention to who we are hooking up with. If folks are acting foolish and we hook up with them, we used to say the same when we were trying to get clean from crack cocaine. And we were going to the meetings. Narcotics Anonymous and AC Anonymous, that's Cocaine Anonymous.
and CS, cocaine anonymous, and alcoholic is he. So what happened is he in. So what happened is, this is a, if you keep going to the hot dog stand, as much as you don't want to have a hot dog, eventually you will buy a hot dog. And what they use that cliche for is that if you keep going by where they keep smoking, where they're smoking crack cocaine or marijuana, drinking corn liquor, eventually you're going to take a sip or you're going to take a smoke. And how many times that I experienced that I was in treatment for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. The last time I was in treatment for 11 months, and God touched me. I was in Salvation Army. Yes, I was. I was homeless because my family didn't want me. I was in Salvation Army with all these men breaking went all through the night, a whole bunch of men sleeping in a big room. And God let me experience that. God showed him and touched me. I became a teacher of the gospel at Salvation Army. I became a teacher there. Because God said that as long as you get hungry and thirsty for righteousness, he'll fill you. But you got to become hungry and thirsty. Folk want to be filled. Listen to me. Folk want to be filled. You hear me? But they don't want to become hungry and thirsty. They want Christ, our Lord and Savior, to do stuff for them. Brother Deacon is calling me now, but I can't answer. They want God to do stuff for them. But they don't want to follow his principles. They want to tell God, I want a blessing. I need a blessing today, God. I've been working for some time. I need a job. Lord, my husband is acting a fool. I need you to talk to my husband, my wife, my children. I want all you to do all these things for me, God. But God says, what about getting into my word? What about spending time in prayer? What about turning your plate upside down for 3 days, 7 days, or 21 days, or 40 days? What about putting your flesh under subjection? What about respecting your neighbors? You say, I don't care too much for them because they're black. I don't care too much for them because they're Asian. I don't care too much for them because they're Latinos. I don't care too much for them because they're Caucasians. And God says, all souls are mine. You don't have the right to determine who you want to talk to. I made them all. And if you're going to carry my light, you're going to have to let my light shine on everybody you come in contact with. You can't pick and choose who you want the light to shine on. That's the problem.
Amen.
The greatest time of segregation is Sunday morning. You got the white church over here, the black church over here, the Latina church over there, the Spanish church over there, the Asian church over here. You got that separation. But we're supposed to be serving one God, and we're only one church. There's seven churches he talks about in the book of Revelation, but he only came back for one church. Those seven churches were just an example for him to show us all the mess that's in the church today. All the mess. Every church that he talks about in the book of Revelation had problems. You know why? Because we're looking at ourselves instead of looking at him. And we're weighing ourselves. We're measuring ourselves by the other man or the other woman preacher. We're measuring ourselves. Well, I preach better than her. I preach better than him. Or I've been in the gospel longer 40 years. I've been here for 30 years. I've been here for 20 years. But that don't get you into heaven. You know how many people that's going to be ministering in the church for 30, 20, 40, 50 years going to go to hell? Many. If God will allow you to see them busting open hell, you'll be amazed. Because why? They have no relationship with him. They were just looking good in the building. But they have no relationship. They have fine robes, nice big cross on their chest, nice apostle ring, a bishop ring, a pastor ring, all of this stuff they had, but they had no relationship with the Savior. How you know, apostle? Because when they have, let me tell how you know when people have relationship with the Savior. They treat their neighbor as themselves. That's how you know. When people have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they don't walk around with animosity in their heart. You call it malice. They don't have it in their heart. The heart is open for the love of God to flow. Here he says, verse 5 says,
answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Hear what he say? You got to give them the answer that they need to have, not what they deserve, not what they want. You have to line up what they're saying to God's word and give them the answer they need. Don't be in agreement with a fool. You become a fool too. Listen, in his article in Proverbs, in contradiction on answering fools, James Patrick Holden feels that the alleged contradiction between Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5 wins a major award for silliness. What we have here is not contradiction, but dilemma. An indication that when it comes to answering fools, you cannot win because they are fools. And there is no practical cure for foolery. As this citation demonstrates, so it is unwise to argue with a fool at his own level and recognize his own foolishness, superstition. But it is good sometimes to refute him or rebuke him soundly, lest his foolishness seems to be confirmed by your silence. See, we got to know how to handle foolishness. I am going to stop right there. Let me check this off, because if I come back to the Lord, let me come back next week. I'll start at Proverbs 28. I want to do a two-part of this. I got a lot of stuff in here. Because I know the Lord dropped this in my spirit last night. I said, Lord, this is so good. I read it last time. I read it again. And I said, I got to run out. And I came back here. I didn't have my computer with me, so I said, I got to come back and run the house and put the computer on. But this is so powerful. And we have to go back and look at this thing. Look, examine them folk that coming around you, wrong us. I'm telling the truth. Not that we are all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. But we got to recognize who we are and whose we are. And we got to know that the devil come to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus come that we will have life and have it more abundantly. That enemy wants to stop us. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
So we got to watch. We have to watch who we allow in coming into us in our fear, coming into our realm, into our circle. We got to watch it. Don't take it for granted. Satan is very cunning, very, very cunning. And sometimes folk will come and say, oh, girl, you preach so well. You teach so good. I love Apostle. She says, to God be the glory. She said it all the time. She said, to God be the glory. No, you got to do it. Don't let them. Satan will come and swell your head, my head. Try to. Don't let him do it. Because that's a way how to get us into his yo-yo string so he can flip us any way he want to. When you allow folk come and make you think that you all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, your head begin to get swelled. That's what I talk about, pride. Then we begin to get prideful. I don't have to go to church because I can preach better than the pastor. I can preach better than the apostle. I don't have to go over there. I got this thing down. No, don't let the devil do that. That's what the devil does. You understand?
Amen.
I am grateful every time that the Lord allowed me to come on this here church land and share word. I am grateful because I know without him, I can do it. I tell you, without him, I can't do it. But with him, I can do all things because he strengthens me. I tell the truth. When I don't study like nobody else. You hear what I'm telling you? But when he drop it in my spirit, it's like pure fire. It's like pure fire. And I know how it comes out of me. I know how it comes out of me because it cuts me. And the Lord wants us as believers, as prophets and apostles and pastors and bishops and evangelists and teachers and deacons, he wants us to be aware. Pay attention to the people that are coming around us. The anointing that's on your life, excuse me, I told Apostle this the other day, we were talking.
the anointing that's on our lives is not only going to draw godly people, it's going to draw demons. It's going to draw devils. Okay, it's going to attract devils. I know people say, but I'm a preacher. Ain't no devil can come around me. You better than Jesus? Are you better than Jesus? Are you more powerful than Jesus? They say to come around Jesus, and just when he come around Jesus, he knows just when to come around you or me. So I don't know what you're going to say.
Amen.
I'm a preacher. I got a degree. I got a PhD. I got a doctor. Satan can't do nothing to me. You keep that attitude. And Satan will have you in a casket and have you in hell right with him. Then he will tell Jesus finish a 40-day fast, not 21 days, not 7 days. A 40-day fast. Jesus just finished fasting 40 days. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
The Bible says after he finished 40 days, Satan showed up and took him places. Jesus was hungry, thirsty. Where you come out the fast, physically you're weak. Spiritually you're strong. The body is weak because the body haven't been getting nourishments. But the spirit is strong because the spirit is getting what it needs when you're fasting. And he took Jesus all these places 3 times. He tested Jesus. And we said, well, I'm a bishop. I'm a pastor. Satan can't do nothing to me. You keep that attitude. Keep that mindset. I will tell you what to do. That if you're going to walk for God, make sure that you have the word of God down in your belly. Let the word of God roll in your belly. Make sure day and day, you know, every chance you get, put in the word of God. Every chance you get. You don't have to read the whole book. I don't read the whole book every day. Sometimes I read 7 chapters, sometimes 6, sometimes 4, sometimes 2, sometimes a half a chapter. How the Lord lead me. You hear what I say? Sometimes a half a chapter. But that half a chapter is so powerful, it takes me through the whole day. The whole day. But make sure you put in some word. Make sure you put in some word. Because my pastor told me that years ago. He said, son, don't get in the word. Get the word in you. So make sure you put in some word in your heart. Because that's the only thing that's going to defend you. That's the only thing going to help us to be victorious. The word of God. The word of God is a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. I talked about that. Talked about those different pieces of clothes that we need to have on all the time. We can't wait till we get in trouble to put on the clothes. We've got to have those garments on. Garment of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Mm-hmm. The breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth. But the first piece of garment in that book of Ephesians that he put on was the belt of truth. Do you see that? The belt of truth. You would think he would say the helmet of salvation. But no, he didn't say that. He said the belt of truth. Because you need truth. Truth is what stops the devil dead in his tracks. I don't care what you're preaching. What you're teaching, what you have. If you don't have no truth, the devil will run right after you, right over you. You need truth. Put truth on first. Truth must be your main piece of garment that you walk in truth, you live in truth. Because if you don't live in truth, you're living a lie. And Satan will defeat you all the time. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. Oh, God, we just bless your name and praise your name for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. We ask, God, that you continue to elevate us to that place that give you glory, O God. Not give us, but give you glory, O God. That when men and women see us, they will know that we are your servants, that we are your friends. Because you didn't call us servant, you called us friend. Because you said the servant don't know what the master do, but the friend does. And I ask you, Father God, to bless us with hearing and bless us with seeing, O God, that as we see, we will do. As we hear, we will speak, God. And Father, as you do this, God, we are content to bless your name and praise your name. But if you don't do it, Lord, Lord, we know you have done more than enough already. And we are content to praise you, Lord. Thank you for the hearers of this word and not those that would hear it later. God, we ask that you bless them, O God, to move to another dimension in you, God. And if there's anyone that is messing in a sorcery or witchcraft or idolatry, Lord, we ask you to convict them with this word, O God, that they say to you, Lord, they come to you wherever they may be, in the kitchen, the bedroom, the bathroom, wherever, on the street, Lord, they pull their car over and say, Lord, I forgive me. I repent for my idolatry, for my sorcery, witchcraft. And, Lord, I want to live a pure, holy life for you. Help them to live that life, Lord, because they can't do it. We can't do it without you, Lord. And we are careful to give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' holy name. We are praying. Come on in, Bishop, if you're there, and let the Lord use you in this salvation. Come on in, brother Bishop James. Come on in.
I'm here, Apostle. I'm here. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I hear you. I hear you. I see you smiling,
God,
my brother.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Now for those who have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and for those who have strayed away from the faith, come back home, prodigal sons and daughters. Come back home on this day. Don't hesitate, because no one knows when our soul will be required. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whom shall believe in him shall not perish. Hallelujah. God gave his only Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, the word of God says, "For we have all fallen short of the glory of God." Fallen short. Not maybe, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But God has given us a way out through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's a free gift from the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 6, at verse 23, the word says, "For the wages of sin is death, but eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ." The only way, he is the way, the way maker, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Lord God Almighty. No other way. He is the door. Call upon him today. And in the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 8, and it says, "But what does it say?" It says, "The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." And in verse 9, confession is made. And it says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Hallelujah. So all God asks us to do is confess that you know that you're a sinner and that Jesus has died for your sins and that God has raised him from the dead. If you've made that simple confession, you are now saved. Your slate is clean. Hallelujah. Glory to his holy name. Thank you for the free gift, Lord God Almighty. The gift. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your obedience to the Father. And now, coming down off of your throne and entering in the world through a woman to become the ultimate sacrifice for our sins and iniquities. Because you see, Jesus had no sin, but he was made sin in order to save us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to your holy name. Now, if you made that confession, you must repent. And repentance is not returning to the previous way of life that you were living. All your sins are forgiven. Your slate is clean. There's no charges against you. If you truly, truly, with all your heart, believe what the salvation prayer is all about. Just simple, very simple prayer. Now, the next step is in the book of Acts, and that is the baptism. It's an outward sign that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And invite people to your baptism. Glory to his holy name. But baptism is, like I said, it's an outward sign that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you must repent. Must repent. Hallelujah. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, and it says, "And Peter said unto them, Repent, each and every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And you see, no matter what people say, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and your sins be forgiven of you, and you're now baptized. Invite who you may, stranger on the street, co-workers, family members, neighbors, even your enemies, invite them to your baptism. And by doing so, you invite them to your baptism, they may come and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and also be baptized in Jesus' holy name. And those souls who you have just requested that they come to your baptism, God has used you to draw them to him. And if they come, that soul is accounted to you for being saved. Oh, praise the Lord. What a privilege. What a privilege. Hallelujah. Now, Peter said to those who received his word and heard his words, repent and separate yourself from this perverse generation. And there were about 3,000 souls that were saved at that particular time. And I request that you join those 3,000 souls along with the many, many, many millions who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
Yes,
it's a wonderful life. Wonderful life. And if you don't have a Bible, we suggest that you get a Bible, preferably a King James, a New King James Version, New Living Translation, Logos Bible. They're all good Bibles. Every day, before you pick up that Bible to read, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you where he wants you to go. And if it's only two sentences, you may get a revelation right in those two sentences. You know, you don't have to read a whole chapter. You can read, like I said, two sentences, half a chapter, a paragraph, you will see answers from the Holy Spirit. So God bless each and every one of you. Welcome to the family of God. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. Bless you and your family. And may God bless you all. Hallelujah. Praise the Holy Name. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for that prayer of salvation. I thank God for you and for your faithfulness. And coming in and doing what thus says the Lord. I pray God blessings upon your life and your wife's life and your children's life, grandchildren, everything that concerns you, that God would perfect it. And God would keep you safe in the midst of all that's going on in your city. God would watch over your ins and your outs. In Jesus' holy name. The line is open for anyone that wants to respond if you have time. The line is open.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, prophetess.
I've always seen you. Pastor Callender. And to of Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington and Deacon, I think, what is his last name? Callender?
Fraser.
Whatever.
Apostle
Deacon
Callender.
Fraser.
Deacon Fraser.
Deacon, his last name is what? Callender?
His last name is Fraser. Deacon Fraser.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Deacon Fraser.
Yes.
I thank and praise God for you all. And I was just blessed, really, through the word of the Lord this morning. I want to hear the other part. I was really blessed, truly. And truly, that's what we need, the word of God. And what you were saying, I mean, the word of God is true by itself. But what you were saying, that we got to be careful, really, that I'm going to say who we take company with, you know. Our surrounding, because I know people have approached me that way, you know, they come around me and they start talking about things happened way before my time, 20 years ago or whatever, and they say that he's off, a curse word, and I said, wait. Mm-mm. I told them over and over, I said, no, you can't come to my house doing this. They say, you think you harder than that? No. No, I'm not holier than God, but I am holy. And you, if you don't respect me, don't come to my house. And then, you know, sometimes people get attitude, but, you know, that don't bother me. But what you're saying, we got to be careful. Because one thing about it, that this is my belief. If you let that devil lay around you submerged, and let me know your mind ain't where it's supposed to be in God, and then for you know it, hey, you be just started slipping on over. The devil is a lie. God done brought me too far. He done brought me too far. He done brought me through things and unseen. And for me, this time in my life, try to get me out there. I just thank God. I love the word of God. And truly, I can just sit there and just listen. Especially when the word of God we going forth and the anointing up on that word. I be telling Pastor Washington. I said when you're an apostle, y'all be ministering, I just sit there and eat. Because it blessed my spirit. Things that I go through daily, you know, I just need a word here, a fresh word. I mean, God's word is already here. And it's going to remain in here on this earth until he come back here. But, you know, I love to hear the word of God where I can say, oh, and I've been blessed. Now, okay, I know I don't be around so many people, you know, pretty often through the week. But when I be around them, you know, I just ask God to keep me covered. I, you know, and I'm going to say this. When I go to my brother-in-law's house, you know, I ask God to keep me covered. Because not only do the devil how he attacks, but I know what he want to make me say something out of the way. And I have to catch myself because I ain't perfect. But I do let him know. And you might say, yo, you shouldn't say this on air. But, hey, I'm for real. My life is open book. I tell him what I got to say. But and what I say is in the word. And sometimes you just have to let a person know where you stand. And when that person really find out where you stand, he'll bag back. He will bag back. I have seen it so many times. I have got angry so many times, and I want to walk away. And then I said, the devil, no. I don't do that. I mean, I know you said, well, you can't do that neither, sister, because that's your sister and his house both. And they ain't come here trying to disrespect nobody's house, but they ain't going to let nobody walk over me neither. Them. And then you kind of put your finger at me because you showed me in the word of God where he said, I have to be trumped on. He didn't make me a copy, but he made me a child of the Most High. And I just praise God, and I praise God for his word. And I kept telling the Lord while I was there, even when I had to go back, I said, God, you keep me covered. I said, God, you keep my tongue in the roof of my mouth, God. Hallelujah. And I let that devil fuss to his with himself. And you know, they're elected for to himself, but he won't find somebody. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I thank and praise God for what he's doing in my life. Hallelujah. And sometimes maybe I say, oh, God, I ain't picking, though. I'm not picking, though. I said, but I just walk up there, I got to look him in the eye. I let him know he ain't scaring me. So I just look him in the eye, and I tell him in a nice way who I am. But I know he don't be serious, but it's fine with me. Long as I know that song said that I got Jesus, and that's all right. And truly, for everybody that heard the word of God this morning, you need to take that word and apply it to your life, because this devil is not playing. He ain't never playing. And you can believe it or not, he can worship. Everywhere you turn, he can worship. Like every minute of the day, he get worship. And I just thank and praise God for keeping my mind, because so many things right now I'm dealing with so much, really. I even told the Lord this morning, but God gave me an answer. Like I was telling the apostle, I said, I'm dealing with so much right now. I say, God, you can make 5 million. caught myself. I said, five of me. So I was sitting down. I was putting my socks on. What the Spirit say? No, he had made five. He had made one. Because he know what you're going to have to go through. God going to give you strength to go through it. I just said, yes. You know, he always answered my question when I'd be saying something to him, maybe out of the way, because we all got to go through something in life. And I know as we're going through, God is carrying us higher in him, because when you're doing it, we're doing it with the love of Christ in our heart. And so I just praise God. I just praise God for this opportunity. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you so much, Providence. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much for your response. To God be the glory for what he is doing in your life. You know, we really appreciate you. We really appreciate you and Apostle and Bishop for what you all do here on Blog Talk Radio. And I want you to know that, you know, we love you with the love of Christ. And we know God is going to do much more in you, with you, and through you. All you have to do is stay faithful to God. Remember the word oh, my God, that word's been tears to my eyes right now. I just heard it. Remember that word I read there in 2 Timothy? He is faithful when we are faithless. When we are faithless, he is still faithful. You know, and things will happen. I like what you said, that you're not perfect. Things will happen in our lives to hinder us or make us slow us down. God is still on the move for us and with us.
Yes.
Even when we are slowing down, God is still with us, and he is still leading us. So don't give up. You're going to see the manifestation sooner, not later, sooner. You're going to see the manifestation because God's promise. God's promise. And we thank God for you.
This got nothing, apostles, they got nothing, you know, to do with what, you know, what you're a minister on. But through the word of God, did bless, you know, through the blessing. But I'm going to say this. This little thing that I was going through, I was saying, and I let that devil know who I was doing it. And you better believe when I ain't around, he asked me about me. I said, I just laughed. He asked me, he'll tell my sister, where is she at? If I call my sister, she ain't said nothing about me. Well, I said, Sam, you didn't want me to say nothing about you. And I know God working. And that's why I laugh, but God is working. Sometimes we have to go through some things, but that's all right. Long as I keep Jesus in my heart, he can work it out for me. Because I don't mean nobody no harm.
That's
nothing to hurt, you know, hurt no one. I don't do that. All I can do just pray. But again, I was really blessed in the word of God. And Apostle, I got you on the phone. Don't you forget my tape when you come here, when you come, when we meet together.
I got to try to remember. I got to remember what song you're talking about.
Golly, I don't know, but it was a beautiful song. Whew. Well.
We'll do something for you. We got a lot of stuff. All right, the line is open. Thank you so much. Who preaching tomorrow? You or Apostle?
I will. I told Apostle. I'll preach tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll preach tomorrow, okay. But I get
that
word.
That is great. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank God.
We are grateful for you all. And I tell you, man, God is just moving some stuff. I told you all 45 days, and I'm seeing things happening for me already. Listen to me. I'm telling you, God is doing some stuff. I would not lie to you. I had to share with Apostle the other day. I told you guys that when the Lord dropped that word in my spirit, I don't know what it's going about, because when God says stuff, I'm looking for spiritual stuff. I don't look for stuff for the natural. I don't look for materialistic stuff. I'm looking for a higher move in the spirit. You understand? That's what I'm looking for. But when God, I shared that with Pastor the other day. When God, I think I shared on live, that I owed over $9,000 on a car that I turned back into Lincoln Mercury for Navigator I had. And I was paying $75 a month. My wife said, she said, we would die before we pay off that bill. And those folk, and that folk went to the court, and they plead for me. I had no lawyer on their stuff. That was Lincoln lawyers. They went to the court and they canceled the bill. They canceled the bill.
Praise God.
I mean, just over $9,000. That was $10,000 or something. But they canceled the debt. I told you all, in 45 days, the Lord says, we're going to begin to see things happening for us. Because he's going to do things for us. Going to have so far. And I said, my God, I just spoke that word off. I told my wife, I said, honey, I just spoke that word on Blog Talk Radio. And when she gave me the letter, she said,
praise God.
She gave me the letter. She says, that's the bill from Ford Lincoln Mercury. And when I opened the letter, she said, the debt is canceled. I don't right, she was skipping. I said, honey, this is not no bill. This thing is canceled. She said, for real?
Yeah.
She had to read it the second time to make sure. I said, yeah, it's canceled. This is what God would do for you when you're walking up right before him. You got to keep your faith in him, because it's faith that moves God, not money.
Amen.
Money don't move God. Cars don't move him.
Amen.
Buses don't move him. God flies above. He moves above the buses, above the planes, and all that stuff. He moves above all that stuff. That don't move him. But your prayer, your faith will move God. It will touch the heart of God. So even when things are going rough with us, we got to still praise God. Got to still praise him. Give him praise. Thank him. You know, because he's saying, all things give me praise. Give me honor in all things. So, you know, because people can praise
Hallelujah.
God. People can praise God when they get a check in the mail. They can praise God when the supervisor calls and says, look, we've been watching you, and now we want to advance your position on the job, or we want to give you a raise to your salary. They can praise God. But, you know, the time is when you can really praise God is when you're in the midst of the storm. That tells your faith.
Amen.
That tells your faith. When you're in the midst of the storm and you can still praise God, you imagine, look, what's Abraham? Look, I hear God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What's Abraham on his way to sacrifice his son that come out of his loins, come out of his
womb,
Isaac. And he on the way to Mount Moriah. He's on his journey with the two donkeys and his servants. And he's praising God. The little boy said, Daddy, I see the wood. I see the wood and I see the fire. And you got the dagger. But where's the sacrifice? Abraham knows in his heart that he has promised God, that I'm going to give my son up. Because God testing Abraham now. Let me see if you really love me and you see you love me.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-mm-mm.
And Abraham tells the boy, the Lord will provide.
Yes,
somewhere in his
yes,
heart, Abraham saying that, he is saying, and this is what I heard, it's not the word, somewhere in that text, Abraham is saying to Isaac, God is giving you to me, and he's able to give me another Isaac. I'm hearing this in the spirit realm. It's not in the word, so don't hold that to my heart, hold it to my head, but in my spirit, I'm hearing Abraham said in the spirit realm, God has given me you in my old age. And the same God is able to give me another Isaac if I got to sacrifice you. But he says, God will provide a sacrifice. He will provide the sacrifice. This is where we have, that's how we got to praise God. And then God even called for our last dollar, for our last meal, and said, give the meal to the homeless, to the hungry on the street. You get in your car and drive down the street and give it to the man underneath the bridge, the woman underneath the bridge. And God said, because you've been faithful to give that last meal up, that last dollar, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to cause somebody to give into your bosom. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm going to cause it to happen. I'm telling you. God does it. God does it. I've had some trials in this body I have here, and I told Apostle I had pain that was so bad, I couldn't do it. I didn't feel, I said, Lord Jesus. But God, I thank you. Both of my knees were swollen. I told her, both of my knees, and the right knee was bigger than the left knee. And I had them wrapped. And I put the heating pad on them and all that stuff, and I began to pray. I said, God, you know I got so much work to do for you, and I got to go here and go there, carrying the gospel. And I can't be afford to be in a wheelchair, because I can't get around.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
And I went to sleep. I went to sleep. And when I got up, the Lord Jesus is my judge. I'm not swearing on the Lord then, but he is my judge, to tell you the truth. Both of my knees was completely going down. No more pain. And I told my wife, I said, I don't have no more pain in my knees. I don't have no more pain in my knees. Because I had to praise him even when the knees wasn't acting right. I had to praise him. Just praise him when everything is going well. When I got the food, the refrigerator is full of food. I got money in the bank. I got gas in the car. I got oil in the. No. You got to praise him when the gas gauges are not empty. One of my pastors drove for miles and miles and miles, and the gas gauge meter was on zero. And his wife, there was at that time of the night, there was no gas station. And when he got into the city where there was a gas station, the car coursed into the gas station lot. God was keeping that car engine running. He's driving on empty. He said, I think I went at least 100 and something miles. He was coming out of Richmond, Virginia, going into Arlington, Virginia. And that car drove all the miles from Richmond on empty. In the nighttime, late nighttime, no gas station open. God will do that when you honor God with what you have.
Amen.
The greatest thing that God wants from us is our heart. That's the greatest thing that God wants from us. He wants us to honor him with our heart. Let your heart be for God. Don't let nobody move you. That's why God gave me that message last night. Pay attention to who you're hooking up with. He used this, and the way God used that word, he used that phrase, that everyday phrase, because that's how the people talk now. I'm getting hooked up. I'm hooking up with sister so-and-so. I'm hooking up with brother so-and-so. You know, that they don't say I'm getting together. They say I'm hooking up. And that's the way the Lord gave that to me today, last night. Be careful pay attention to who you're hooking up with. Because if they're not godly, if they're not trying to be godly, you can't hook up with them. You can pray for them, though. You know, I say I pray for you anytime. I pray for you, pray with you, but I ain't going to the movies with you. I'm not going to all you can eat with you. I'm not sitting down with you. But I pray for you. I pray for you. You know. But the line's open. Thank you so much, Prophetess. We thank you. I know you're going to come with another hot word tomorrow from the Lord, and we thank God for that. We thank God for that. I can't wait. The Lord will bring me back in next week. If he saves us him, I'll come in next week.
Thank you, Lord.
The line is open. Glory.
To God. You all still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yes.
All right. I'm not going to be left out of this conversation.
I know you won't.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, big mouth of power, got to talk about it. Hallelujah. That's what they call me, big mouth. That's all right.
Yes,
I'm
going right.
to big mouth for Jesus.
My sister,
I'm going to big
my sister.
Mouth for Jesus. Hallelujah.
It'd be good
That's
talk.
Right.
That's all right.
Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor Millie, Apostle Millie. Oh,
yes.
Your bishop, your brother messing with you. He said,
come on, damn.
He's talking to Apostle. He said,
bring us some duct tape.
He said, bring you some, since you don't know what tape it is, Apostle could just bring you some duct tape.
Hey, you're silly, man. Bishop is silly, man. Bishop is silly.
You don't get away with that. Bring him.
You know, Bishop is so bad, man. That man don't have to be funny.
Hey, my God.
Hey, that's my thing. They don't let him forget.
You remember that tape?
Yeah. Bishop would make you smile.
Well, we can do it this way. If you can't get that song, you bring me one tape that you know.
Wait, what was that? Come on back.
Said if he can't think of the song that he sung that day, he can bring me one of those tapes that he's preaching on.
All right, okay.
On his ministry, no tape.
Okay.
Yeah,
we don't
bring
do too much
tape
in now, though. We do CDs. We don't do too much tape. We do CDs.
I call it tape. That CD, yeah. Don't talk about too.
But you know what? I still got some tapes, Pastor Billy. If you got a cassette tape, if you got a cassette player,
I got a CD player.
Yeah, I got some good tapes now.
Okay, baby.
Yeah.
You know, I will take.
But you know what? Praise God. When he said that about the duct tape, I said, yeah, because the Holy Spirit had already told me, you got to keep your seat.
That's right.
Don't keep sitting with the, keep being seated with the ungodly.
That's right.
So we got to keep our seat because we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reserved seat, but we're still seated.
Yeah.
We're still seated in heavenly places. And I say, well, some folk need to be taped down.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord.
Taped down. The Holy Spirit got to keep us hooked up. Taped out.
Yes.
She was talking about the tape. But that
yes.
Jokes over here had me laughing in here. But anyway, I thought about that. You know, when we, you talked about being unequally yoked, and when we are with the wrong company, you lose your seat.
That's right.
You're not seated in heavenly places anymore. And
that's
people
right.
don't understand that you lose your seat. You're seated in heavenly places. You've been raised up through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Stay up.
That's right.
Don't go back down. Don't look back and don't go back down. Just stay up. Stay up. Stay hooked up with Jesus.
Yes,
because
sir.
He's the only one that can keep us seated.
Amen.
That seat is reserved in heaven. But we also, it's been done already. So we can say spiritually we're already seated. So we're seated in high places. Amen. With the royal priesthood, we've been seated. I mean, when you talk, that's some heavy, heavy, heavy right there.
That's right.
Seated with Christ Jesus. And that's what came to me when you were preaching. You're seated. Stay seated. Keep your seat. Don't lose your seat. Don't lose your salvation. Because when we lose that salvation, you lose your seat. You no longer have a seat in heaven.
All
you
right.
don't have that seat. You're not going to be at that table, at that supper table, at that marriage supper. You want to be
all
there
right.
for the celebration.
Amen.
So we celebrate now. We celebrate now for what we have that we know we have because it's already been done. So we
all
celebrate
right.
Christ Jesus. We celebrate him every day. And those that continue to do the things that Apostle was talking about, you know, we talk about it all the time. You just push yourself out the way. You put yourself in a bad place. You put yourself in a bad way. You know, you're not seated where you need to be seated. Seated, planted, seated at that table that God is preparing for us in the presence of our enemies. We got to stay seated. Stay there and get fed the word of God and then digest it, because we can be fed, but are we digesting? Are we digesting
right now.
The word of God? You can sit at the table, but are you digesting? Are we refusing?
Yes.
Are we refusing that good, wonderful food that Jesus has for us, his word, that food
Amen.
That we need to feed our spirit? Or are we refusing what Jesus is serving up and then going and sit at the table of the demons and be served up evil? Which
yes,
one
Lord.
Do you want? People got to make up their mind. You know, if you're sitting with the ungodly and you done forgot that you're supposed to be seated in heavenly places with Jesus, you're going to be it's a mess. Already a mess and don't know it. They don't even know they're a mess. That's what's so sad, Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad, y'all. It's so sad that people don't know because they don't know that they don't know that they're being led by the blind. They just don't know. And they think they're saved. They think once saved, always saved. No. We got to fight this fight till we take our last breath. We got to fight.
That's
even
right.
If we can't talk, we can be talking to Jesus in our minds. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God knows. And then when you're seated in places with heavenly places with Jesus, you got the people around you. You want to stay with those that's seated too. You know,
Amen.
We're hanging out together. We're seated in heavenly places with Jesus, and we're getting all our goodies. We're getting all our blessings. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And God's going to continue to give it to us. And you mentioned Abraham. God, pleased with Abraham. Abraham was ready to give it up. But here's the good thing about Abraham. Abraham knew, he told the boy, that God will provide.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
God will provide.
Yes,
he said, Father,
right.
Where's the sacrifice? He said, God will provide. And that's our mentality. We don't have to go looking in all the wrong places for things that we need, for things that we want, for people. We don't have to do that. Stay in the right place. Stay seated. Stay seated in wise counsel. That wise counsel is Jesus Christ. He'll counsel us, lead us, guide us. My God, he gives us everything. Apostle, you say everything we need is in him.
Amen.
And we got to be like Abraham. God's going to provide the sacrifice. God's going to provide everything. He already provided it through his son, Jesus Christ. And that was symbolic of Jesus being offered up. Hallelujah. His son was offered up for ours committed. And so, Apostle, you say it a whole lot, but you talk about these people. These people are not saved. They're not saved,
that's right.
And they think they are. That's so pitiful. You go to church, you go through all the motions, and it's only lip service. It's only the motions, a bunch of theatrics. That's all it is. You're only acting. It's just a whole act. That's what people do. They pretend to be somebody that they're not,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they want to call us holier than thou. Well, ain't nothing wrong with being holy. They act like something wrong with being holy when they say that. We got to be holy. Jesus said, be ye holy as I am holy.
Amen.
So why you got a problem with me being holy, with me being like Jesus Christ, being like-minded with him? And we're going to get that. And I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
But, Apostle, I want to tell you, everything that people take from you, God will bless you over and over again. My God, hallelujah. Waves and waves of blessings are coming upon you now and forevermore.
Man.
Because
Jesus.
I know you're not going to fall apart. I know you're not going to fall back. I know you're not going to look back. I know you're going to keep looking to Jesus. You're going to stay focused no matter what they do.
Amen.
That's it. I know you are. And those blessings are coming upon you every day, waves of the blessings of the Lord, like a river flowing in you and through you. Glory be to God. You will never be without. If they don't pay you, guess what? They got to pay for that crime because you stole, right? You stole, and you got to pay for that crime. And every penny that they don't pay you, God got more. God got more. Hallelujah. He got more because God's going to give you back what they steal.
Amen.
And that was just a test, Apostle. You were being tested.
You were being tested, and you passed your test. You didn't go off on that man. You didn't cuss him out. You didn't do any of that, you know. And I was saying, Lord, when he told me he gave you a post-dated check, I said, oh, my God.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Because when people do that, they finagling with their money when they do that. You know, they're going to give you a post-dated check because they know the money is not there, but it's going to be there Tuesday. What if something happened and the money don't go in? You know, how are you going to promise somebody with a post-dated check?
Mm-hmm.
That you know what I mean? A post-dated check is just like a check that done already bounced because the money is not there.
That's right.
That's how I look at it. Because if something happens and it doesn't go in time and you got stuff going in just like what happened, so even though he might have had good intentions, I'm not saying the person didn't, but that's bad practices. That's bad business practices. That's bad business. But God makes it good. God makes it all good for you. Hallelujah. It's all working out for your good. Set you up for even the more. That's a setup. That's just a setup. God allows these things to happen. He sets us up and we come up higher. That's all it is. I say, uh-oh, here we go.
Hallelujah.
Look what they did. Uh-oh, too bad. Whoa. Because God got your back, Apostle. God got you and God got them too.
Amen.
And you got to pay for the crime. You do the crime, you got to do the whatever God give you, you're going to do that time in that season, you know, where God's going to make you pay back.
Amen.
Payback is coming. What payback you want? You want the payback from doing wrong or you want the payback from doing right? Which one? God will give you the big payback. It's going to be big. Because, see, everything we do and sow into and sow, it comes back more. People forget, no matter what you sow, God multiplies it. So if you sow bad, you're going to get worse back. My God. That's how it goes, sowing. They only look at sowing sowing something like sowing their money, sowing something good, doing something good. What about the bad stuff? When you sow the bad stuff, it's coming back. God multiplies.
That's right. That's what he says.
It multiplies.
That's what
he said 30, 60, 100 fold. 30, 60, 100 fold. He's going to give it back. Hallelujah. When he said so, he wasn't just talking about the good stuff you sow. What about the lies? What about the conniving, conjuring up evil, doing all this stuff?
What are they?
Coming back more than what you gave out.
Glory.
This is what we have to remember. God ain't sleeping and he's not winking at no sin. He's not turning his head like pretending like he don't see it and winking at it. You know, no, he's not. He sees the good and he sees the evil and he deals with both.
Amen.
So don't lose your seat. That's the word I heard. Don't lose your seat.
Jesus.
Because only you are the one that can give it up.
Hold your seat. That's right.
But hold on. The devil can't take it from you unless you give it up. He can't take it unless we give him place. The Bible said don't give him no place.
Because
he's our accuser. He's the accuser. He's always looking for a way in to go and accuse us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we give him the right, the legal right, to do something to us. Because God said so. Don't give him no place. Don't give him no place because he's waiting to say, I got you.
Uh-huh.
I got you. And then he's going to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just laugh at him and be like Pastor Millie said, oh, no, no, I ain't going to be no carpet. I'm not going to be no rug. It's because I'm a Christian.
That was good.
I'm not going to be no rug for you. I'm not just going to lay down and let you walk on me.
That's right.
Nope.
And she always say,
Oh, Lord.
No, you're not going to do it.
Everybody going to do it.
I'm not going to let you, you know. People think we're weak because we're kind and loving and we're compassionate and merciful. And people think we're stupid.
Yes.
Play us. See,
you trying to play me, but while you playing me, you messing over God, because I'm God's child.
That's right. Yes. Hallelujah.
Messing over the Most High God, and he said, your enemies are mine. Amen.
That's what he
Everything
said.
Everything that you have is mine, and even your enemies is
That's
mine.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So, mm-hmm. Apostle, you're a blessed man beyond measure. You're blessed.
Amen.
And this is just a setup. This thing that happened is just a setup for even greater. Look at it as a setup. Hallelujah. God is doing great things in your life, and it gets greater and greater as the days go by.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank
all
you, Lord.
That Bobby, and as for the credit, they can only send in a negative report when it's 30 days late. Mm-hmm. It has to be 30 days late before they can report it. So even though things didn't go, it has to be 30 days after 10 days or 5 days, whatever their policy is. They can charge you a late charge, but it won't affect your credit report if everything is taken care of before 30 days. 30 days
yeah.
out. 30 days after it's due. So nothing is going to affect. It's not going to affect, let's just say, it will not. What has happened, God will protect your finances. God is going to protect everything concerning you. He's already taken care of it, and you're not going to get no negative reports, and every bit of the money that you need is already provided for.
Y'all hallelujah.
Here's my sister.
Pastor. But I get you back. Okay, baby. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. God bless
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. Hallelujah. God bless you. God be with them as they travel, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for your mercy, for your grace, God. Let everything they do together, God, be prosperous, Lord, today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They're going out to do some things
amen.
Today for Pastor Millie. Hallelujah. Her niece is picking her up. Glory to God that she's got some help. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for sending the help we need, Lord, for providing all our needs. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you that you provide everything that apostle needs, oh God, every day, God. You provide our needs, our Jehovah Jireh, our Lord of glory. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. That no evil is going to befall our brother. No evil is going to befall any of us. Every trick of the enemy is only going to trick him in the name of Jesus Christ. When he try to trick us, he's the one that tricks
thank
already.
You, Lord.
Father, just thank you, God. Hallelujah, God. That up even more for the trouble. For you are ever-present help in the time of trouble, oh God. And everything they do to your people, Lord God, everything people do wrong, God, including us, God, whenever we do something that's not right, God, you're going to deal with it.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. And that chastise. Lord God,
thank
we
you,
thank
Lord
you.
Jesus.
Lord, we thank you. And, oh, God, we just thank you now. Hallelujah, that all is well in Apostle's finances. All is well in his house, oh, God, because you are the Lord of his home. You are the Lord of his life. You are the one that he has given his life totally unto you, God. And we thank you, God, that all his concerns are taken care of this day and every day, God, and we thank you for your glory upon his life. We thank you for your glory upon his family, Lord. We thank you, God, hallelujah, for pouring out today your word in the name of Jesus, for pouring out of your apostle, God, your son, Father God. We thank you for what he has released, Father God. Oh, God, we ask, oh, God, that you pour into him even the more for what he has poured out today, Lord God. For what he gives, God, you will multiply. Father, we thank you now for the blessing. Glory be to God. Blessings upon blessings. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, this supernatural abundance right now, God. Hallelujah. Pouring out, Father. In the name of
thank
Jesus
you,
Christ,
Jesus.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you so much, Father God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You are the blesser. You are the blesser, Lord. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. And he shall see a blessing as a result of what has happened, Lord. He shall see the manifestation of what you have already done, God, to clear this up, to clear it all up, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, I thank you. God, we thanking you in advance for your favor in this situation, Lord. In the name of Jesus, it
thank
is
you, Lord.
That your favor is with us for life, oh God, and that your favor would be a shield, oh God, to cover us. Lord, we thank you
thank
in
you,
the
Lord.
Name of Jesus Christ. That apostle is blessed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, oh God, and we thank you for your blood, for the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And everything concerning him and his children, all of his family, God, all of what he's connected to, God, because he's connected to you, and he walks holy. He walks, he lives this word, oh God, and he loves you, Father, and we love you too, and we thank you, God, that all is well, and we shall see a great blessing as a result of what has happened. Glory be to God. God already knew it was going to happen, and he already took care of it, Apostle, and all is well with you, our brother, our friend.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. I believe it. I receive it.
Thank
you, Lord.
Oh, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you for this awesome word of yours, oh, God. Thank you, God, for this today, God. Hallelujah, and that you keep reminding people, you keep telling people about who you are. We keep telling them what you are telling us, God. And, God, we believe that many are getting saved. Many are coming to repentance. God, we believe today that people have heard this word, received it, and we believe today that people will begin to live this word. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we thank you for it. We thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Apostle.
Mother
Grant is on the line. Bishop, ask Bishop if he check his phone.
Okay.
Apostle, I sent him a text just now. Tell him check his phone.
Okay, I will. I'll check it. I got his phone.
Okay.
I'll check
you.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah,
my little broke phone. You know, I was supposed to get another phone.
Not too long, though,
and this phone is pretty good, but we need another one. But we're going to Mother Grant is on the line, you said?
Yeah, she's on the line. She just got
Amen.
On. Mother Grant?
Yes?
You see the text? You see the text, Apostle? I was asking Apostle Washington if she saw to see the text.
Oh. Do you want me to
go ahead and read? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. God bless you, Apostle. God bless you. God bless everybody on the line. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Great.
We miss you.
Yes. I don't know. There's so many things happening. I have so many debt in the family. Just keep going on and on. But thank God for strength.
Yes.
Thank you, Him. Thank you for strength. Every day I wake up, strength. My reading is say trust. God is our refuge and strength. And ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear through the earth. Give way, and the mountains fall unto the heart of the sea. Psalms 46:1-2. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord bestow favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold. From those who walk in blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Psalms 84:11-12. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pleasure. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. Psalms 37, 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on his own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom, 12 and 32. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagan run after all those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Blessed is the man who make the Lord his trust. Psalms 40 and 4. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endured forever. Psalms 125 and 1. And may God add his blessing to his word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mother Grant. That was right on point, because that was a lot that we were saying about in the message, that we have to really trust the Lord and be faithful to what the Lord requires us to do, because God is faithful. He is faithful. Even when we are not faithful, he is faithful. But we need to put our trust completely in him, you know,
yes,
and not in stuff. You know, a lot of times we said in the message that folk can be faithful when things are going right. But when things are bad, it seems like faith broke the back door, the front door, the side door. But faith must always be there, must always trust God, you know, because that's what moved the heart of God, faith. You know, we said that in the message. So that was good. That was good addition to the message. Thank you so
Amen.
Much, Mother God.
Bless you. Yes, something I wanted to say, but, Lord, I can't remember it now. I'll come up with it. It's something I just... I don't know. Well, I must say my son had the surgery and he's coming along great. You see, he still is swollen and have pain, but he's doing good. He had the hernia surgery. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So he can't go back to work till the end of next month.
Yeah, it takes a while. It takes a while for that.
Yeah. Because they had to cut him. Some people, they say it come back.
Yeah, some people that come back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my brother-in-law, he has very bad hernia, and, you know, it protrudes, his is protruding, and sometimes it'll come up, you could see it, you know, see it on his belly. And he can push his hand there, push his hand on it, and push it back in. But he had some problems with his heart, so they couldn't... His heart rhythm was out of whack, so they had to do something for some type of machine or sub inside his chest. And they said it was putting him on some type of medication to try to get his heart rate right. Because all of a sudden his heart rate started going crazy. Never had no problem at all with his heart. And all of a sudden it's going crazy.
Yeah.
But he is a workaholic. He's a workaholic. He don't stop working. He just don't stop working. He work, and he is close to my age. But he work all the time. And he don't need to work. He got money. This man got money. You know. And his house is out of faith. He has a nice big house, nice cars and everything. And he don't need to push himself the way he pushes himself, but he keeps doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. That's the way some people are. Just like to keep on going.
Yeah, sure. He gonna,
I think
he's going to have surgery sometime this month.
Uh-huh.
Hey, this month or the first of next month, he's going to have the surgery because they couldn't do the hernia surgery because they was trying to get his heart rhythm back.
Heart rate together first.
You know. Because there'd be too much for his heart. But we thank God. We thank God and praise God for you coming on in. I know you had a good time with your kids.
Yes.
Over there.
Yeah, now she's going to, what's the place named? Johnson and Wales. Yeah, they had to take her back up to Charlotte up there Sunday. She had a event to do 2 days, must be some kind of class, and she'd be starting school in August. Yeah, yeah. I had a nice time up there in the where all the wolves is, the bears. But you know, we went out up in the mountains and what's that? But not no walking. Not no walking around there where we was. Oh, I went to Tennessee but 3 times, but I guess different parts. I never went to that part where she rent a, you know, like them time sharing place. And it was nice. I enjoy myself. I thank God for it. I come back now. I got somebody offer me I'm going to take care of a lady for 2 weeks out west, and I'm so happy for that. If I tell you, I still got these 2 more taxes. They send even though I pay that. I just don't understand. I guess they know what they're doing. Two more months. They send, so you got $169 this month, the end of this month, $169 next month for taxes. I say, okay, I just got to do what I got to do. I say, and God is good. I had that babysitting job. Lord, that was a great help.
Yeah.
And I just won for 2 weeks. I say, God, just, oh, I am so thankful. I am so thankful.
Good.
Yes.
Amen.
I am so thankful.
Just gonna be good, God.
How you doing? God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you. Good news. And thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that word of blessing.
Amen.
Glad to hear your son is doing well and
we
believe that he'll have a speedy recovery in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We plead the blood of Jesus over him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It is well, Mother. It is well. Glory to God. God bless you. We thank God you came back. You got back safe. We knew you would.
Yes.
We prayed that God would keep you while you were there and that you would have a spot, that you would have peace and joy while you were there, enjoying your family. That was our prayer for you. Glory be to God and that you would return safe and that while you were there, you would be safe. Amen.
Amen.
So glory to God. God answered our prayers once again. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You.
That you're always with us in everything we do.
Yes.
Everything.
God is faithful.
Glory be to God. Yes, he is. So faithful, Father. Yes, he is.
Faithful.
Thank you, Lord.
So
yes,
faithful.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Bless you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We bless your holy name, God.
God bless you, Deacon.
Yes.
I know I miss you. Saturday night I was trying to get on. I say, Lord, Deacon went early. You get up early Saturday night. You don't have nobody there. I come on 10 o'clock, no Deacon.
Yeah.
Nobody must be enjoying him. And I feel bad, you know, Deacon, when I don't catch you. But you know, Ron here, like I tell you, it's family night. And then I had a brother-in-law pass away in his funeral. They had the wakes Friday night, and then the funeral was next day. And I was busy because I was cooking. You know, helping out with them, with one of my, that's the last, my husband, Grant, brother that passed away. He had prostate cancer, young boy. and it's 50 feet past away, the brother, down here in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I try to get you, get at you, but I didn't make it. I just want you to do that. I try to give you, if it's only one day.
Yeah.
God bless you and keep you and your family.
I have another cousin
in the Bahamas die on Friday, so I tell you, a man, everybody with this prostate cancer, they got to take care of themselves.
Yep, that's right.
Yep.
Right, Mother Grace. Right. Yeah. Amen. That's right, Mother Grace. You up.
Well, Brother Deacon, the line is open up to you. The line is open, Brother Deacon. Yeah, I went out with Brother Deacon. I was on day with Brother Deacon on Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He had a good time.
When I come on, he was gone.
Deacon got that word in, praise, and Deacon said, "I guess we're gonna just go on." And Deacon prayed. He was on fire though. Deacon was on fire. Deacon said, "We're gonna go on."
All right. Okay.
Once we done this, we finna go what the Lord called us to do. Deacon said, "We going on home." I said, "That's it. Ain't no point in staying on there hanging around.
That's right.
Once you do what the Lord said, go on home.
That's right.
As you know, folk, they're coming to be spectators. Folk are coming to be spectators and not to be participators. And God ain't looking for no spectators. He's looking for people to participate, you know.
Amen.
God ain't looking for no spectators. Folk coming to spectate.
Right.
They're coming to, let me see what they're saying today. Let me see what they're saying. God ain't looking for that stuff. God looking for people to be part of what he's doing, to be a part of what he's doing.
Amen.
And we call it 2 cents. Your 2 cents will make a lot of difference, make a lot of sense for somebody. You hear? Your 2 cents make a lot of sense for somebody. But people don't say it that way. If we would start saying it that way, we'll begin to share. Every chance we get, we'll share, say what this said to the Lord, so somebody can get. Because somebody out there is waiting to hear words. They're waiting to hear an encouraging word from the Lord. And it may be the word that you shared just now, Mother Grant. And maybe the word that pastor shared. Maybe the word that pastor shared. Maybe a word that deacon share. But we sit back and say, I'll just be a spectator. I just want to see what they're going to say today. Let me go on Blog Talk Radio. I want to see what they're going to say. God ain't looking for that. God put something in you, put something in me, in all of us, for somebody. Somebody got something in them for me. We all got something in us for each other. But sometimes we don't want to share. We want to just sit back and be a spectator, like we all got in a bag of chips. But come on in, Brother Deacon. I know you got something. Come on in, with a little fireball. Come on in.
Amen, amen. Glory to God.
Come on in, Brother Deacon. The line is open. Come on in, Brother Deacon.
Linda? Little Brent Smart on their way.
Deacon must be busy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift your name on high.
Lord, we love to sing you praises. Blessed be your holy name, O God. Blessings to our Savior, our Blesser, our Holy Redeemer. We thank you. Amen.
Brother Deacon, look, he's going back to work, so go ahead and pray and close us out. Close us out, Apostle. Close us out. Close us out. And we will see you all tomorrow.
God.
Get them word from Providence tomorrow.
Yeah, she's going to, Prophetess Millie said she would do Friday.
Yeah.
Just tomorrow. Friday.
Tomorrow's Friday.
Tomorrow's Friday, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she said she, because she called me last night. And we talked about it. So she said she had something to do today, but she would do Friday. And if you want us to, we'll do Sunday.
Okay. Sunday's good. You can hit Sunday, Do you check your phone?
Sunday.
Do you check your phone?
Huh? Yeah,
do you check your phone?
I sent you a text.
Oh. Okay.
Praise God, hallelujah. I didn't
Sunday is good.
Yeah, we'll do Sunday.
We thank God for you.
Trying to get back on schedule.
Yourself.
Thank God for you too, Apostle. We're going to be so blessed. I need to talk to you about your itinerary while you're here. You know, when you get a chance, call me. So, yeah, Deacon's mom says maybe she can, maybe they can get Deacon, drive Deacon to us, and that they might just attend, you know, be with us as well. So, and I told him I didn't really know exactly, you know, I don't know exactly. I know we're going to be together, but I know there may be other places. I know you want to go to Apostle Stewart, and so I told her, I don't know. I need to know the day you're going to be able to Apostle Stewart, you know. So just call me. We'll discuss it, not over the phone.
Yes,
most likely
with him, we're going to be a Sunday. You know, it's going to be Sunday, a Sunday. You know, the week is between you and Providence Millie and the Providence and so on. You know, we getting together in fellowship. You know, that's mainly why I would see them on a Sunday. Because you know how that is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so Prophetess Millie, he and Evangelist Lula will be with us from the 18th till the 22nd. Four days. Isn't that beautiful? That's wonderful.
But I
told him that you would, you were only going to stay for 8 days or 7 days, so you'll still be here when they leave, unless that has changed. I don't know.
But, no, that's not changed, because that's where my ticket. That's where my ticket is, from Sunday to Sunday.
Okay. All right. Okay then. Okay. Praise God. Praise God.
And you know, God is so awesome, Apostle. That you know,
yes,
two other airlines that we were looking at. And God did not allow us to book with either one of them airlines. And both airlines now are canceling flights because they don't have enough people to work on the planes.
That's just like our God.
I told my wife, that's God.
Because
we would not be able to go if we had booked with either one of them airlines. We would not be able to go because they're canceling flights.
Amen.
That's the way God is. I know. Fearful is he.
And so, you're gonna have your wife with you. She's gonna come. She decided to come.
Nancy's not able to come. I wanted her to come.
I wanted her and Samara to come, but, you know, she got her, we got our granddaughter here, and that girl, she's going to be here for a while.
That's right.
Then my daughter-in-law is coming up, and she's going to be here for a while. So
I'll be going, I'll be there in Louisiana.
I'll be in Louisiana. And I spend my time and come back. You know, this is the time she's going to get to come down and fellowship with us. She, you know, God will work out the time. You know, God, all things
yes, he will.
In time and God's way. He knows how to do whatever he's doing.
Amen.
He does. And,
that's right. Amen. And we'll be coming your way as well. So we'll all get together.
Yeah, God is working yourself out. Last week I had a vision. I had a vision of you last week and your ministry. Well, I always say your ministry, but God's ministry. I had a vision of that last week. And I really, really, really honest to God saw you in the building. I saw you in the building.
It's so cool.
And at that time, I was visiting, and you didn't know I was coming to Louisiana. You all didn't know I was coming to Louisiana. And when I show up at the building, you stop the service and you say, "You're not preaching. This is my apostle. He's going to preach today." I said, "My God, I didn't come to preach. I come to eat. But you say, "This is my apostle. He's going to preach." And I chuckled and I said, "No, I didn't come to preach. I come to get preached to." You know, but and that was just so real. It was just so real. So I know God is working some things out.
It's happening.
He's working some things out.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to keep the faith.
And
we got to praise God for the building before you go in the building. You know, you can't
Amen.
Wait till you go in the building together. When Joshua and them was heading to the promised land, Joshua and Caleb, they were praying for the promised land. They were praising God for the promised land. And they have not got into it, you know. They didn't got into it.
Hallelujah.
But they were praising God for the promised land. And this is
that's
the mindset that we have to get. We can't wait till we get the money to praise God for the money. We can't wait till we got healed to be praising God for healing. We got to praise Him while we are going through. While we walk into the promised land, we got to praise Him. You know, I told you yesterday, I got so much vegetable out there now. I was telling my wife, we got to start cutting some of that stuff and putting that stuff in the freezer. That's a look of God.
Amen.
I got so much tomatoes out there now. That's a look of God.
Praise
and I'm
going to
make another garden. I'm going to make another garden bed. Next year, the Lord willing, I'm going to have two big garden beds. Two big beds. And I'm going to have a lot of stuff going. Because God said, you can do it. You can do it, you know. You have to trust God and believe God for what God said you can do. You know, don't try to figure how you're going to do it. God said if you move, He'll move. You know, just move. God said He'll move. But sometimes we're waiting to see God. Matter of fact, God is moving. My granddaughter, she's so silly. I got the cameras outside, you know. And she got to, every time she goes and come back, she got to go wave at the camera. Then she gonna come in and she gonna ask me, "Grandpa, you see me on the camera?" She waving at the camera, right? Uh-huh. And she looking around like she can see me.
I just love seeing her. She's so smart.
She is gorgeous.
Hallelujah! What a blessing! What a blessing! I'm so happy she's there with you all.
Yeah.
That's so nice. I know she come every summer, though, pretty much, since I've been with you all. It seems like she's there every summer.
Yeah, she comes up and spend time.
Mm-hmm. And thank God He healed her. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah, girl.
Not too long ago, she was in the hospital.
Yep. She's healing.
Yeah.
You had a good time?
It was so fun.
You know, I love you.
The octopus actually swam this time.
It swam?
It was huge, the octopus. And then they made, like, a statue of it.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the dolphins, and then there was a big snake.
Did you bought anything?
I don't think so. Oh, yeah, I did. I got a an octopus magnet from my mom.
You should see her. You should see her, Apostle. She is so pretty.
Oh, that's so
she
precious.
She is so pretty. She got that complexion like a Hawaiian complexion. She is gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
She is gorgeous.
Wow.
I mean,
yeah.
And I tell her yesterday, I said, girl, you don't even remember when you couldn't see that though because you was a baby. I said, but you fit in the palm. Mm-hmm. You fit in the palm of both of my hands. She said, really?
Wow, that's her
too. Yeah. I said, yeah.
Yeah, she was born ahead of time, wasn't she? Preemie.
Yeah, she was a preemie. And she fit in both my hands. Her mother was grand. I said, no. I prayed right there in the hospital. I said, oh, wow. She's not going to die. She's going to live.
Amen.
Has she in an incubator? She had to stay in the incubator for a while.
Yeah.
I got to hold her. So I said, no, she's not going to die. She's going to live. And she get attacking her lungs and stuff like that. But I said, she going to live. You know, her mother was pregnant a couple of years ago, and she had a miscarriage because they weren't. So hopefully when my son get home, they'll conceive, you know. But this girl here is so smart, Lord Apostle. She writes stuff, and she writes poetry and all this stuff.
Praise God. Look at her now. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the blessings, Lord. Blessings upon our children. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. She sounds so precious. And isn't that something? Most kids look to buy things for themselves. She said, I bought it for my mom. I bought a dolphin. She said, I bought something for my mom. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Father, we are so grateful, God, as you've brought us together once again, and we have received of your word. Lord, it was so wonderful, Father God. And we thank you. We thank you for the blessing of your word, for the blessing that came forth through you, through our apostle. Father, we thank you again in the name of Jesus. And Father God, as we leave this line, Lord, we know that we can never be separated from you, Lord God, for you are always with us. Our Holy Spirit lives within us, and he goes where we go. So we thank you, Lord, for your spirit with us always. And Father God, we pray for everyone traveling, Father, that they be safe regardless to how they're traveling, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for their safety, God. We thank you that no evil will befall any of us. In the name of Jesus, your people, Lord God. Oh, God, help us to fight continuously, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, as you provide, Lord, that we will give. Lord God, we will give of what you give to us always, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. And we pray you continue to bless our giving, oh God, like you said, that it will be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Oh Lord, that men, you will cause men to give into our bosom. And Lord God, you said it will come back 30, 60, 100 fold. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, as we give, whether it be the fruit of our lips or whatever it is that we give, God, when we give to you with a cheerful heart, Father God, we know that we will truly be blessed beyond measure. In the name of Jesus, God, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for strength today. God, strengthen our brothers and sisters who are suffering, our brothers and sisters who don't have, Lord God, food and don't have shelter. Lord God, those who don't have their medicine, Father, we ask you, our provider, oh God, to provide for them, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, God, and we pray for the safety of all of us, all of our children, Lord, all of our family members, God, in the name of Jesus Christ and our neighbors, God. We pray for peace in our communities and peace with our neighbors, peace in our homes, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Lord, we thank you that we're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when we come and blessed when we go, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that we are at the head and not the tail, that you have made us above only and not beneath, oh, Father God. We thank you, Jesus, for that. Oh, God, that you have given us, God, the power to get wealth, and therefore wealth and riches will always be in our house. Oh, God, spiritual wealth, your spiritual wealth, Father God, that's greater than any wealth, our treasure, which comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for it. Oh, God, we pray for the sick to be healed, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh, God, for you are the Lord that heals us, Father. You've healed all diseases, Father. We thank you for it, God. Hallelujah. And we thank you, God, for more to be saved to come into the kingdom. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, as you draw them, as you, Father God, draw them to Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you, oh, God, for those that are coming into the kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we bless you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God. We bless your holy name, God. Oh, God, we pray for Peter, God, that you would give him, Lord God, a sound mind, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, oh, Father, so that he can begin to prosper, to be prospering his soul, Father God, prospering in all things in health, oh, God, as his soul prospers in the name of Jesus Christ and for Darren, God, oh, God, that you will touch them, touch their minds and give them a sound mind, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah, 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 bless Mother. Bless Mother Grant as she goes, God, as she travels, Lord. Oh, God, everywhere she goes, God, keep her safe, Lord. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Hallelujah, and that the peace will always be in her home, Lord. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, God. And, Lord God, we know that you are taking care of all of us in the name of Jesus Christ, God. And we thank you for the listening, God, as we humble ourselves, God, and give our cares to you, God. You said you lift us all up in due time, Lord. So we thank you for the lifting, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We trust your timing. We trust you, God, because you are faithful, God. Hallelujah. You always show up and show out, God. Hallelujah. And you're always on time, and we thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. I'll call you a little later, okay?
Well,
go see what's going on
sure,
here with these kids.
Sure thing.
God bless you. God
all
bless
right.
you. God bless you.
God bless
you. All right.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.